Thank you, Merle. There are two passages this morning that I'm going to read, brief, just a few verses each, from two letters that Paul wrote to the early Christian church. I just want to offer a little explainer or a bit of context before I bring these brief readings. There are many ways that the New Testament talks about God's relationship to us human beings. Paul grew up as a Jew and a study of the law and a member of that group of Jews at his time who believed that the one and only way that human beings can relate to God is by thoroughly obeying every law that has ever been given by God and written down in the Jewish holy books. In the passages that I'm going to read, just a few verses each, you will find, I want you to listen for the discovery that Paul made when he became a Christian. If you read the preceding verses, which I won't read this morning, you will find they're all about the law and how people come to God by obeying the law. And then you come to the passages that I'm going to read and you listen for the change. So the first is from Romans chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2 and then 14 to 17. Paul is writing, "There is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, which brings us into life in union with Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do," that's capital L law, "what the law could not do because human nature was weak, God did." And I'm flipping over to verse 14. "Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. For the Spirit that God has given us does not make us slaves and cause us to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes us God's children, and by the Spirit's power we cry out to God, 'Father, my Father.' God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory." And the second reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians comes from chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. "But when the right time finally came, God sent his own son. He came as the son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might become God's sons and daughters. To show that we are his sons and daughters, God sent the Son, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, 'Father, my Father.' So then we are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter. And since that is what we are, God will give us all that he has for his heirs." This is the word of God.
Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, move within us. Having heard the word read, may its light and truth fill us with a desire to be God's Spirit-filled children, bringing him honour and glory. Amen. Today is the third Sunday in our series we've been doing on children of God. First Sunday reminded us that we were loved children of God. Then the next Sunday, last week, reminded us that we are called to be loving children of God. And today, we declare the truth of the Scriptures that as children of God, we are Spirit-filled children of God. Our key verses for today are these. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption and sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. At least several times a year, each family is faced with a crisis, and it applies to every member of the family. What are they going to receive? What gift are they going to receive for their birthday, for Christmas, and so it goes on? At least our family was thrown into crisis over this, but my mother-in-law, my late mother-in-law, she was quite an amazing woman. She had a system. She would ask you, what do you want? And she had a little book, and she would press for an answer. What do you want? And she was relentless. She would not give up until she had something in that book alongside your name. And our middle son, who was a bit of a horror sometimes, he was about 8, coming up to a particular Christmas, and he was into all sorts of war stuff, you know, World War II. Now, we're going back 40 years maybe, something like that. And he says, Grandmum, I want a World War II German soldier's helmet for Christmas. And he got one. She hunted all the disposals, all the army stores, all the rest of it, and she came up with this helmet. Can you imagine an 8-year-old in an adult German soldier's helmet? Like, it just sort of went, and his head disappeared. It was so big. But he got what he asked for. It was quite amazing. Have you ever opened a gift and you haven't really understood what it was, what it was for, how you're going to use it? Well, into our family one time came a slim parcel. It was wrapped. And I'm not sure whether it was for me or for Colette or for the two of us or for the family or what. But when I opened this little package, inside it was this hardwood, almost cylindrical shaped thing, except it went pointy at one end and it had lovely turning. It was made out of jarra, so it must have taken them a fair bit to make it out of this hardwood. And I looked at this thing and I thought, lovely handle. And then it just tapered to a point. What the heck is this? What do you do with it? And Colette, who knows much more than I do, especially about gardening things, she said, it's a dibber. I said, a what? She said, it's a dibber. I said, no, dib, 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 dob, dob, dob. Nothing to do with scouts, nothing to do with boy, you know, with cubs stuff. It's a dibber, she said. You use it for planting seeds. You poke it in the ground, you create a little hole, and you drop the seed in. And I was so relieved when I knew it was for the garden because it was her present. The blessing, the gift that we are going to explore today, may be a bit like a gift that you don't understand. The Holy Spirit is such an awesome gift of God that we should praise God for that gift and celebrate it every day. In fact, the letter to the Ephesians commands its hearers and its readers to be continually filled with the Spirit. Every day, be filled with the Spirit. One of the most important ministries of the Holy Spirit is that of filling the life of the believer. The filling of the Spirit gives the believer power to live the Christian life, and we are commanded to continually seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For this is an experience to be sought and repeated so that we may live our Christian lives in the will and the power of God, the giver of this great gift. Now, many of us have heard of the Holy Spirit. We hear people in church talking about it. We hear sermons on it. But the Spirit is one of those subjects that sometimes floats around the edges of our understanding as Christians. This morning I want to suggest to you three reasons why we should be grateful and thankful for God's gift of the Holy Spirit to us. And hopefully he will become more real before you walk out of here this morning. We can't really do a comprehensive study of the Holy Spirit unless you've brought your lunch and your tea for the next 5 days and your sleeping bag. It's a huge subject in Christian theology and biblical understanding, trying to come to terms with who the Holy Spirit is. But this morning, I just want to let you know that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God to you, his children, and he wants you to have the Holy Spirit. So let's consider the first reason why we can be thankful to receive this gift from God. Well, firstly, it is a gift and it is from God. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm usually thankful to people who give me gifts. It means that there's something that they value in me. They've put themselves out, they've bothered to go and get whatever the gift is, or they may have made it, and they give it to me, and I think, well, that's really terrific. It's wonderful to have something like this. We usually give gifts to those whom we love, those whom we care about. And it's wonderful to see people receive them, and it's wonderful to give. A couple of Christmases ago, before our youngest son, Adam, got married to Laura, Laura's family found out that the Williams family, who numbered me and Colette and Mark and Adam, the four of us, were going to be on our own for Christmas Day. So, with great love, they said, come and have Christmas lunch with us. So we ended up with a group of about 30 people. They have family dripping off the trees like you wouldn't believe. You know, they've come from Sydney, they're from all parts of the metropolitan area, and we got together in this lovely home down in Colonelite Gardens for Christmas lunch. And at some point, there must have been a signal or something, people started moving to the tree and taking presents and giving them to people. And we had taken some presents too, so we didn't feel too bad, that was all right. But everything came to a standstill when our middle son, Mark, just quietly reached behind the Christmas tree and produced a very distinctive-looking something that was wrapped very, very neatly. And immediately all the males who were there gravitated to this present, waiting for it to be opened. Do you know what it was? It was a bow. Now, I don't mean a little thing that will fire a little stick with a sucker on the end. I mean the real longbow thing. I can't stretch it. It's so tough and it's so strong. And here was this bow that Mark was giving to his younger brother, Adam, for Christmas. I was livid. You know what I got? Socks. Because I didn't ask. I didn't ask. So therefore I did not receive. But you see, I don't think that Adam asked for the bow either. But his big brother thought, this is a good way. He didn't give him any arrows, I must confess. Just the bow. And this was his way of saying to his younger brother, hey mate, we've got to get together. I got the arrows. We've both got bows. We've got somewhere we can shoot it quietly in his hallway with lots and lots of buttresses to stop the arrow piercing walls and the like. So they got together and they would fire these arrows down the hallway at his place. It was a great bringing together of these two boys. The giver was thrilled to bits. The receiver was thrilled to bits. The parents had some trepidation. God gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. I mean, it isn't enough that God gives us his Son. It isn't enough that God gives us eternal life. God gives us more. You know, there are over 100 verses in the Bible where people ask God for things, where we are invited to ask God for things. It's incredible. God invites our asking for his gifts from selfless motives. But he also delights to give such gifts to those who ask him. The gift of God's Holy Spirit to us delights God as the giver and blesses us as the receiver. In Luke 11:13 we read, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" If we ask for the gift of the Spirit in our lives, God is going to do it. We're reminded that this gift is a gift from God. And this is why we should welcome the gift of the Spirit into our life, because God's behind it. God's behind it. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is the pledge from God that we are his. And this is very important. This alone is reason for us to celebrate. When we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, the Spirit acts as God's guarantee to us that we are God's children and therefore recipients of the full inheritance that God has in store for us. We heard this morning as Peter read, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him." Some of us don't like that bit. "In order that we may be glorified with him." How exciting would it be if there was someone or someone's here this morning who were actually heirs to the Bill Gates fortune or the Steve Jobs fortune? Wouldn't that be fantastic? I have a hunch you wouldn't even be here if that was the situation. You might be sunning yourself on a beach somewhere while your motor yacht was parked out in the bay and your personal helicopter was just sitting there ready to ferry you back to the boat again. Wouldn't that be incredible? But I want to tell you a truth, and the truth is that you can multiply by the largest number you can think of and you still can't fathom the inheritance that awaits for those who are in Jesus Christ. We receive this gift not by our own merit, but rather by virtue of the fact that we belong to God's family. God wants us to receive the Spirit. We share in God's kingdom. All the blessings of being children of God and being in the kingdom are ours. We have access with Christ to all the promises of the Father. All the blessings of the Father. We are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ has is ours. We are children of God, born again, adopted into his family. We are children of God to whom he offers his Holy Spirit. And we read, "You have received a spirit of adoption. You are a child of God." And how's this all come about? Well, this word adoption pops up. We speak of adoption today and we usually mean it has to do with accepting a child of other parents into our family. But there's a different meaning in the scripture. You need to understand that the Romans and the Greeks had a ceremony they went through with their own flesh and blood children, all right? The sons, actually. That's the way it was in those days. And the ceremony was called adoption. And it literally means the placing of a son. The placing of a son. As long as the child was under the legal age of inheritance, they weren't considered to be a fully fledged member of the family. They didn't enjoy all the rights and all the privileges that belonged to members of the family. But when they became an adult, that is, to the legal age of inheritance, they went through a ceremony called, and I got this out of a book, so you know, don't put this down to my good memory. It was called the Toga Virilis. Toga Virilis. And what happened was they would take the toga off the back of an adult and they would place it on the back of the child and then pronounce them to be a fully fledged member of the family with all the rights and all the privileges of the family. Now, Paul states this truth to those who were gathered in Galatia. He writes, "When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption as children. Through the renewing, loving, extravagant grace of God, God offers us to be his adopted children. We are renewed, we are included, we receive all the rights and benefits of being in God's family." And it becomes very clear in Galatians 4 to the extent at which this goes. "So you are no longer a slave," writes Paul. "You are God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you his heir." His heir. We can be thankful for the gift of the Spirit of God, because he draws us into the full family of God with all the rights and privileges that are the Father's and the Son's. They are ours. And finally, the Holy Spirit leads us throughout our life. That's the third thing. We're able to know the mind of God as the Holy Spirit works through us. Romans 8:14 this morning said, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." It's very clear. And we can be led by the Spirit in many ways. Just a couple of these. The Spirit can help us to be aware of the sin that might otherwise entangle us. And the Spirit can prompt us to remember God's grace, God's gifts, God's word to us in times of need. If you think of Jesus and his temptations in the wilderness, what does he do? He brings to mind scriptures that he quotes to Satan. And so he gets rid of him. He gets through that particular time of distress. What a gift. God wants us to be transformed more and more into the likeness, into the image of Christ. We can't do that alone, but with the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we can. I don't know about you, but I find living for Jesus is not always easy. Sometimes people have a go at you for being a Christian. You don't believe in all that rubbish, do you? I mean, where's your evidence? And so on. These sorts of things. But being led by the Spirit is a wonderful experience, because it begins to change our lives to the point where people around us begin to see evidence of the Holy Spirit at work within us. And this is often called the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence that the Spirit is working within us. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and understanding. I sometimes lack patience. I think it's best at home, it's known at home that I lack patience. I try not to be impatient with you. There are all sorts of gifts that we receive, but also there are the fruits that we display. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. These characteristics become more and more visible in our lives as we become filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is such a powerful, untapped resource for many, that can change people's lives in a very, very big way. So this morning I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to you as a child of God. It helps to confirm your identity as a child of God as you enter into everything that the Father wills for the Son. Everything that God has is ours. So I encourage you to invest time and prayer, to spend effort into committing yourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. God loves you so much that not only does he give his Son Jesus for you,
Not only does he give you the resurrected life of Jesus to make you strong, he also gives you the Holy Spirit to come into your life to give yourself direction and purpose and meaning. Two great gifts for God's children: eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I invite you now to take that step right now, if you've never done so before, to invite the Holy Spirit to come to you. If you've never asked for this gift from God, remember that God is the giver and he always wants to give you good gifts. If you've prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit before and you're used to doing this on a regular basis for the infilling of the Spirit, I invite you to do it again today. I just simply invite you to sit there quietly, maybe just put your hands in your lap and open your hands in a position of receiving. And allow the Spirit of God to come to you. He comes in different ways. Some people feel a nice, warm feeling. Others feel a peace. The Spirit will deal with you as he chooses. So let's just be still before God, give thanks for his great gift, and welcome the Spirit into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.